It's 4:45. Message in the Bottle time, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. Eric Meehan from said fine establishment right here in studio with us.
Hello.
Welcome.
People of the Radio Land.
Yes.
What's going on? We were just coming out of break talking about the exciting new Bangor Arts Exchange.
Yeah, our first improv show there Friday. Yeah, great space.
I'm glad Abby went and represented the Kimball clan.
Well, yeah, I had to raise the bar, certainly.
Cool. That's a very exciting thing. We're actually directly after this, I'm going to a meeting to discuss getting the few things that are still missing, like some nice stage lighting. We're consulting with some people to get that, and some acoustic modifications so that it isn't quite so echoey. But yeah, it's really cool. So and we're starting to do stuff there. The art walk was held there and all sorts of things. So if you haven't been to the new Bangor Arts Exchange, which is the new office space home of the symphony and launchpad and everything, go check it out. There's a lot of cool things happening. There's for parents out there, by the way, there's a Kinder music thing happening, I think, in two Saturdays. Ooh. I'll have more information maybe next week on that, but they're going to be playing, you know, spooky standards for the kids, and be probably about an hour long. I highly recommend checking it out.
That sounds great.
I think it's really fun. It's a really, you know, this is one of the reasons I've been very adamant about getting the symphony housed back in Bangor, because there's little things like this that are so good for the community and kids. I mean, I you know, obviously I have two of my own and I want to get them involved more heavily. So that's just an easy way to do it, is like, you know, popular, fun, spooky tunes that we all grew up with. Although I feel like kids maybe aren't growing up, you know, the lack of Bugs Bunny and Merry Melodies, I think is depriving kids of the spooky, like knowing even what the spooky melody is. You know, you hear like Night on Bald Mountain, and if you don't like picture the big, you know, orange beast getting a haircut and whatever, then you don't know it's spooky.
Exactly. It's awful. You had a little train excursion this weekend too.
Yeah, huh? Downey Scenic Railroad was also very, very cool. That's actually probably the fourth or fifth year we've done that, with varying states of babyage and other non-babyage. But yeah, another cool thing for parents. Go check that out. Mm. I've always been a train fan. Non-genetically, but it kind of ran in my family. My uncle was a huge model railroad guy and whatever, and I've always loved them. So it's fun if anybody can get down there. It's really cool, and they're trying to expand it. I think as far it goes from Ellsworth and kind of does this little jog, but they're trying to get it as far as Green Lake, which would be like a really cool afternoon.
Absolutely.
So yeah. So and they're hoping to do like dinner trains and stuff, which is fun. So wine. So we're playing a little bit off the cuff today, because the wine I was hoping to try was not in my store until about 5 minutes ago. I was not in my store 5 minutes ago, hence we're not tasting that. So I've come up with a brilliant escape plan, so we'll hit that in a minute. But I did want to start today again by sort of touching on the wildfire situation out in California. My little tie-in with the sports world and Washington State Winery, actually. I was listening to a great interview today with Drew Bledsoe. If any of you are fans of big, bold, rather pricey, but very well-made Cabernet, Drew Bledsoe, after a certain young, promising quarterback took his place. This was 2001, was it, right?
Gosh, it's hard to believe it was a long time ago. Yeah.
But anyway, Drew had always had a fascination for wine, and took some of his football money and went out to Washington State and started making quite good cab called Doubleback. And what he is doing as a way of helping out his mentors and friends down in the California wine regions that are being devastated by these fires is he is taking all of his library releases. So those are the older vintages that wineries hold back for special release later on. And he's releasing all those now with the proceeds of all those going to the fires, to the rescue efforts. So if you go to I'm assuming it's probably doubleback.com, I think it is, or doublebackwine.com, you can check that out there. But he was really calling attention to the fact that a lot of us here on the East Coast, maybe not so much in Maine where we have a little bit more land, but people don't really understand the full size of these fires and the devastation. The I think it's 160,000 acres or something right now that have been scorched. That is just tremendously large amount of land. And what is actually truly amazing is, given all that and given its proximity to a lot of the famous wine regions that we love to talk about, not much has been damaged, which is really extraordinary. I think the last estimate, 41 lives sadly lost, but only 41. And given what I've heard about these fires, that's actually extraordinary, given just how fast they seem to spring up and jump highways and things like that. I think 11 wineries are now gone or mostly gone. A lot of wineries have suffered damage of varying kinds, some to their hospitality facilities, some sadly to their own library and you know, collections like that. But most everybody, even people who have been completely wiped out, are intending on going back and replanting and forging ahead. And I'm sure their insurance companies and creditors would like them to do that. Well, maybe not the insurance companies, but the creditors, I'm sure, would like to hear that. So California will rise again, but do keep them in mind, as we keep in mind also the folks down in the Caribbean and in Houston and everywhere else. This is a natural disaster, just like those, and as devastating for a lot of folks, and a lot of non-wine folks, obviously, too. I mean, my wife's cousins are apparently going to have to evacuate, and they're up and they're in the tech area, and it's just it's everywhere, and it's still spreading despite best efforts. So if anybody is out there listening or has friends out there, stay safe, because it's very scary. So yeah, so we were going to talk about Washington State today, and despite my little mention of Drew Bledsoe, we can't, because as much as I would have loved to open his cab on air, which I do have at the store if anybody would like to try it, it's not inexpensive, and as much as I love opening really pricey wines for Rich and Carrie, I couldn't quite justify that. I know, don't give me that look. I know. So next week we will be trying the North by Northwest Cabernet Sauvignon, which is a really cool new project from King's Estate in Oregon. This is their new Washington project, so we'll try that. Today we'll do what we were going to do next week, which is kind of going back to the East Coast, to the Mid-Atlantic Coast, which is where I'm from, technically, in New Jersey. The Mid-Atlantic, essentially, we're talking about the area from the Long Island vineyards going down into Virginia. Why is this area interesting to viticulturalists? Well, it's very Bordelaise, so Bordeaux, in climate, in style, in humidity, and things like that. So a lot of people, dating from the time of our founding fathers, like Thomas Jefferson, who we'll talk about, they really, really wanted to try and replicate some of their favorite French wines, because, of course, French wines were expensive, and of course they were in France, and our forefathers were of course here, and that presented a problem when they were thirsty. So they as you I'm sure recall, Thomas Jefferson and others did try to plant clippings from their favorite French chateau, and they all died because of the phylloxera louse, which was native to the east coast of the U.S. and it nibbled on all the roots, and the Merlot vines went, and the Chardonnay vines went, and the Cab vines went, and Thomas said, okay, I'm getting back on a boat and going to France, and I will become a wine importer instead, in addition to, you know, helping frame the Constitution and stuff like that, which is secondary, I suppose, to wine, at least it is these days. For a long, long time, they were kind of stuck. And then we developed high-powered microscopes, which showed us these little bugs nibbling on the roots. And we said, aha, little bugs on roots. So we found out that the rootstocks of North American vines were resistant to these guys. And so we started grafting. And so the thing about vines to keep in mind, folks, is that they're very malleable. You can play with them a lot in the labs, right? And so you can do grafting and creating hybrids and things like that. Sometimes it's for the best, sometimes it's for the worst. But in this case, obviously, one would think it's for the best, because we figured out how to grow the Vitis vinifera vine, so the grapes that we like to drink, and we figured out how to do it here in America. And so now we do have, we can take advantage of this nice Bordelaise climate in the Mid-Atlantic states. And of course, Long Island turning out some absolutely lovely wines. I've especially had some very pretty Cabernet Francs and Chardonnays. Cabernet Franc, by the way, a lot of people don't really know what it is. It's the progenitor of Cabernet Sauvignon. Sometime out in the wild, Sauvignon Blanc and Cabernet Franc got together and, you know, the stars were out, the northern lights, something romantic happened, and Cab Sauvignon came about. But Cab Franc is kind of like Cab Sauvignon. It has a little thinner skin. It has a little bit more pronounced green bell pepper tone to it sometimes, which you also do see in some Cabernet Sauvignon. It's more medium bodied in general because of that thickness of the grape skins. And it makes really lovely wines, like I said, in Bordeaux, also in the Loire Valley, and now in these mid-Atlantic states. So seek those out from Long Island. But the one we're having today, we're also having Cab Franc today. This is from Virginia. We've had wines from this winery before. We had the Viognier last year when we talked about this region. So this is Barbersville Vineyards from the estate of James Barber, which was designed by Thomas Jefferson, who in his spare time from being a wine guy and a framer of the Constitution also was an architect and everything else. I don't think he had a lot of spare time. I'm just going to be honest. I mean, a little, because there was that whole thing with the
slaves.
Yeah. But anyway, man, he was busy.
There was no TV.
Well, there was no TV. That's well, that's one explanation. He designed it, and the whole place burned down. But the Zonin family of Prosecco fortune from Italy, one of their heirs came over and bought the land and put up vineyards, and it's beautiful. All right, I'm being played out, folks. This Thursday, we've got a fundraiser for the Bangor Symphony called Cheers, a fantastique fundraiser. We're going to be opening some seasonally appropriate beers, probably a wine or two just for those folks who don't want beer. And making a little money for my favorite symphony. And we've got Bangor Uncorked this weekend. If anybody's coming, do find our booth, pre-order some wines. That should be a lot of fun. And lots more stuff on the horizon. Stay tuned, sign up for our newsletter, and we'll see you in the store.
Thank you, Eric. Eric Meehan, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company.